You're listening to Mountain West Voices. I'm Clay Scott. I was driving through Browning, Montana on a recent day with 50-mile-an-hour winds howling off the Rocky Mountain front, and I decided to stop and visit a place I'd been to a few times before, but one that never fails to amaze me. It's the Cutswood School, formerly called the Nitsipuasen School, where children up to 8th grade learn entirely in the Blackfoot language. The co-founder of the school is Daryl Kipp. His personal odyssey took him from the Blackfeet Reservation to Eastern Montana College in Billings, where he says he flunked bonehead English 3 times before passing, to a stint in the Army, to the Harvard School of Education, where he got a master's, to Vermont College of Fine Arts, where he got a second master's in English poetry. Daryl's improbable success story was built on his hard-won mastery of the English language. But when he finally came back to the reservation, he discovered the language of his grandparents was dying. He decided to do something about it.
One night, and I say this, and I don't mean I had this great visionary dream or some, you know, fantastic mystic experience. I did dream one night, and in it there were people speaking the language. My grandmother, she was born in 1860, she passed away in 1958, and I graduated from 8th grade in 58, so I really grew up a lot around her. And that was part of the puzzlement. How do you do that and not, you know, I mean, how can you be with this grandma, this woman you dearly love deeply, how could you, not talk to her? The only English, Iskripisaki, Yellowbird Woman was my grandmother's name. The only English she ever mastered was if you really got her upset, she'd say, God damn you, you know. That was the extent of her English. You don't want to get grandma upset. They didn't want us abused or set aside or neglected, overlooked, or, you know, ostracized, as they were familiar with. And so they didn't pass the language on to us simply because they loved us.
Okay.
By bringing back the language, by studying, by encouraging a revitalization and a refreshment of our heritage, particularly our language, then we return that love to them. And we reconcile, we renegotiate that reality they had to live with. There's no such a thing as in the Blackfoot language as the past, present, and the future. We are all in this one time only. We are here at the same time. My grandmother isn't gone as many more than I am. But I would say to her, Nitakokomima, I love you. And as we say to our children here, one of the first things we teach them is Nitakokomima onesta poka. I love you, my wonderful child. See, a language is alive. How do you keep something like that alive? It's not just words on paper. It is in fact a mechanism of the mind, the soul, the body. I am sometimes overwhelmed when I walk through the building, walk through the school, and I catch a bunch of students just talking away in our language. They speak eloquently. I had to relearn the language to the degree I use it today. But you see, they started as babies, and they came in with no biases. They didn't have time to learn that their language was worthless. They came in saying, oh, all right, this is good.
You've been listening to Mountain West Voices. Our series is produced in association with the O'Connor Center for the Rocky Mountain West, a regional studies and public education program of the University of Montana. Additional support was provided by the Greater Montana Foundation. To learn more about Daryl Kipp and the Blackfoot language, and for more stories from the Rocky Mountain West, go to mountainwestvoices.org. I'm Clay Scott.